Welcome to Federal Insights for June, sponsored by Thundercat Technology in partnership with Dell Technologies.
Welcome to this episode of Federal Insights. My guest is Tim Persons, the Government Accountability Office's chief scientist. Tim, welcome back to the program. Always great to have you on.
Thanks, Jason. It's great to be back. Good to see you again.
This month, we're talking about artificial intelligence, cloud computing, the intersection between the two. And I know GAO is doing a lot of work both looking at AI and cloud, but also internally, you guys are really putting together some really interesting cloud efforts that obviously are going to include AI. So the place I want to start with is an effort that's maybe about a year, maybe 15 months old by now. And this is with the Centers of Excellence, with the GSA runs and some partnering you guys are doing for cloud infrastructure. Let's start there. Where are you at with that program and that effort?
Yeah, thanks, Jason. It's been a great partnership with them because we have an innovation agenda that is highly symmetric with what the Centers of Excellence have. I think they have a previous name was like 18F, but this idea about bringing digital to government in an agile way. So it's sort of both a way of life as well as sort of these state-of-the-art technologies and things like cloud and those sort of analytics and capabilities and tools and data and so on to help enable things like AI, which is an exciting topic. There's a lot to talk about there, but it's been great. They are co-located with us to help us be there and move forward in an agile manner toward our innovation agenda. So in the first year, what we've done is we've stood up GAO's first state-of-the-art advanced analytics cloud infrastructure. And that's helping doing lessons learned for us as we, as ourselves as an agency that is modernizing its IT like so many others around the federal government. It's a nice learning journey to have that partnership with them. And they've been very, very helpful, very creative, problem-solving type folks. So it's been great.
When you say that over the first year, the first advanced analytics cloud infrastructure, what does that look like? How much can you tell me about that effort? And then we'll get to the bigger issue of the difference it's making. But just give me a little bit of more background.
Sure. So it's really about the mission of the Innovation Lab is really to bring about capabilities to GAO for the next generation of our mission, which is oversight. Okay, so really our job, if you think about it, I only half jokingly say we're sort of a manufacturing like entity. We manufacture answers from questions. I don't mean manufacture like make stuff up, but you know, we have to compute and take a lot of data, and we have special authorities and access as an agency into just the entire array of federal government problems, and there's no shortage of those. And I've never met an American citizen that has said I'm 100% satisfied in every way about my government. So we're trying to make good government better government, and a lot of that is helping our congressional clients with their oversight agendas, and a lot of that is computing or converting questions into answers in a state-of-the-art way. So small example, but this may sound 1990s-ish, but it was significant because it was running on our cloud, and the way in which we got it stood up was, I think, was part of the story. But several months ago, we put out, this is back when we weren't all starting to remove mask mandates, right? I don't want us to forget that it wasn't but weeks or a few months ago. We're still wearing masks. We're still worried about will there be enough vaccine? How will we get it out to people? And we're looking at the backside of, coming up on half of the American public are over receiving at least one dose, which is phenomenal success, right? We still have more to go, but I'm saying back then there was a worry about that. So the focus, Jason, was Operation Warp Speed, and we needed to bring our members a real-time data analytic dashboard of what was going on with vaccine manufacturing, the distribution issues, and then really the technologies, because the messenger RNA vaccines that are like behind Pfizer and Moderna were first of their kind. So we were looking at how the Health and Human Services, the FDA, all the regulatory and research enterprise in our health enterprise, which is phenomenal, was able to get an emergency use authorized vaccine in 10 months. But then you got to build it, or you got to make it, and then you got to ship it. And you want to do it in an equitable manner. You want to do it in an economic manner and a feasible manner. So that's where we, with in our partnership with the COE at GSA, we're able to stand up our Operation Warp Speed dashboard, which is a real time. It was updated. It would take data from like NIH or National Institutes of Health, and then update it in real time the status of all of the clinical trials, where things were going. And so it was nice to have this state-of-the-art cloud-based real-time updatable type thing, which we think is a model for, is exciting for what we can do in the future, building other dashboards on the myriad of high-risk things that GAO is tasked to oversee.
One of the things about this dashboard, and maybe walk me through it, the data is being pulled in from other people, from HHS's cloud or HHS's databases into your cloud, and then being presented, and then it's going through analytic algorithms and then being presented to decision makers. Walk me through that a little bit too, because I think that's key here. It's not just you're putting dashboards up and saying, look at the pretty numbers and colors. There was actually driving decisions.
There's driving decisions, and especially because there is a select subcommittee in the House on the coronavirus crisis. And we had key interest on real-time oversight from, and a bipartisan request, Jason. This was not a political or controversial issue. Everyone wants vaccines, the vaccine campaign to succeed wildly here in the U.S. because lives are literally on the line. And we've been devastated by, you know, looking at the backside of nearing 600,000 Americans dead from this. So it was important to have this. So yeah, it was not just meant to be a one-time hero experiment just to say we got a cool dashboard up and it looks good. It really was meant to be interactive so that the our members and their staff and the committee, everyone doing their work, could immersively dive in wherever they wanted to. If they wanted, for example, a 101 level explanation of what messenger RNA viruses are or vaccines are against the virus, then they would be able to do that. If they wanted to see the status of the technology, why is this technology lagging? You know, because we're trying to get, as Dr. Fauci would say, more shots on goal, which means you're trying to get as many vaccines as you can. The Johnson & Johnson is a key example because it has advantages like being a single shot. It doesn't require the cold chain, supply chain storage and so on. And that's a big deal because as we pivot, you see the White House pivoting internationally to try and have a successful vaccine, because we need to, it can't just be we're all good in the U.S. and everyone else is left on their own, right? We need to help solve the problem globally. And so things like that. So that's where, Jason, it was really this thing of we're allowing them to go where they want to go, which is exactly what we do today on our smartphones, on our tablets or whatever, with the apps that we have. And we're moving into a content-centered approach in terms of what we're trying to do with oversight. So anyone who wants to see it can go to ows.gaoinnovations.gov and have a look at what we've done in that area, just to poke around themselves. It's all public, but it was definitely targeted to the members.
That actually leads us down to the broader discussion. The example you provided was great, but really the content-centered approach to oversight. And I think that's a great way to present it. How are you getting the architecture, the applications for AI in place to really support that, not necessarily new approach, but maybe I would say better focused approach, because GAO was always about the data and it was always about the content, but now you're adding the technology even more so.
That's right. We're adding the technology, but we're not, I think this is really important, Jason, this is nuanced, but really important in terms of this conversation and what we see as driving our success. And we have started to have success in other ways, in addition to what we just talked about. But the really important issue here is that we are problem-driven first, right? We're not technology-driven. We're not starting the conversation with, okay, I have AI, what can I do with it? You know, it is true that AI is going to have and does have a lot of applications and things. But we really want to think philosophically, fundamentally, of what is the task we're trying to accomplish? What problem are we trying to solve? And then backing up, you know, inversely solving, like reverse engineering that to say, what are the capabilities that we in the innovation lab need to build in order to solve that problem? And if those capabilities involve, and they will involve data and they'll a cloud type IT infrastructure, all of that is true, but AI is going to be also part of that toolbox or infrastructure to help solve the problem. And so we view it in that way rather than starting with AI and saying, what can I do with it and apply it that way? Because it's not necessarily going to solve every particular thing. So you see the nuanced difference or the importance of how we start. And once you really understand the problem, then you're trying to say, okay, how do we address it now? And it really is a user experience walkthrough, and it's a understanding or breaking down the problem into like a work breakdown structure. What are these particular tasks? Some of which can be fully automated, some might be semi-automated, some of them might be still be manual and always have to have that human in the loop. And I think that's important. There's no future of having sort of an easy button to push and AI is just going to do everything for us, like the WALL-E movie where we're all sitting around drinking Slurpees and, you know, the machines are doing everything, right? This is not a droid-centered future. This is a human-centered future augmented by these tools to help us do our job and be more and better of ourselves.
Tim, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we can continue our conversation. You're listening to Federal Insights on Federal News Network. My guest is Tim Persons, GAO's chief scientist, and I'm Jason Miller. We'll be right back.
AI has the potential to transform government agencies, accelerating processes and mission-critical functions. Thundercat Technology, in partnership with Dell Technologies, can optimize your AI ecosystem, simplify sourcing, deployment, and management of infrastructure designed for the data era, with plenty of what your agency's AI use cases demand to deliver better outcomes in a hybrid cloud world. Learn about our AI experience and capabilities at thundercattech.com/partners/Dell Tech. The future is now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Federal Insights. I'm Jason Miller. My guest is Tim Persons, the chief scientist at the Government Accountability Office. Now, Tim, before break, you were talking a little bit about this move toward, and I love this idea of a content strategy, content-centered approach, and this idea that AI, it's not AI for AI's sake, and we hear, you know, not technology for technology's sake 101 times, but really what problems you're trying to solve. So give me a sense of how you go about deciding what are those problems. I know Congress asks the questions. I know you try to answer them. Sometimes GAO will look at an issue and go, okay, we need to provide insights into that. So I understand the process by which GAO, but how do you say this problem or these questions AI would benefit? Like how does that decision making work?
Yeah, so I think once you sort of understand clearly what the problem really is, especially when you're talking about computing something, what is it I'm really trying to compute? And do I have the data? And do I have the tools? Are the data well posed? Like, because there's a lot of just grunt work kind of things in the background and data engineering that you have to do in order to set the table, as it were, for doing AI. It's not going to be just jumping right in. And of course, you know, the federal agencies have tons of data, but not all of it. Maybe the majority of it is, when I engage with CDOs and things around the government, is well posed for some of these advanced things. But that doesn't mean we give up hope. What we start to do is shape the data collection into those things. What do we need? If we have a data gap analysis that we do and say, we don't have that, but if we don't have it, can we get it? And if we could get it, sometimes it's, can we purchase it, or do we have to collect it over time? It's sort of that, you know, kind of is the juice worth the squeeze with respect to the data? So I think the way we really go about is coming from that data-centered approach based upon the problem, and then saying, what tools do we have in our toolbox to be able to do that? And there's oftentimes like the make-buy thing, because there's tools out there to do things. One of the successes in our Vision Lab, for example, is we were able to upload into our advanced cloud architecture our entire corpus of reports since 2013 at GAO. And then the key thing is, well, how do we make them so that they're more searchable by our members, so that when they put in keywords, they can pull up specific paragraphs, right? In the current system, you can go to the website, you can pull up reports based on keywords, but you're pulling up the whole report. What we're trying to do is extract content from entire reports and then try and stitch things together to build, oftentimes what we see as a key opportunity for GAO's analytics is the longitudinality. In other words, the over time you can see the change of something or the non-change of something, right? When we're saying, look, this is still an issue, and we are recommending, like, for example, via our high risk, that this be focused on even more. So I think the main strategy here is building from that problem-centered into the data, into the what tools, and then the what architecture you have. And you building in that order allows you to be able to test things out. I think one other thing I'll just say, and then I'll pause to make sure I'm going where you want on this. But you have to have an environment in innovation to happen. You have to have what we call a sandbox or somewhere where you can take risk and have useful failure, because you're going to have a lot of slings and arrows in this. You cannot have a system where you can design out every possible error right up front and then go there. You'll never get anywhere with anything. And so you have to think in agile. You have to iterate, you know, sort of wash, rinse, repeat kind of process in terms of doing things. And that is what is driving us, having the agile capability, having that advanced cloud architecture kind of capability with tools and things, and AI is just one of those tools or things in that toolbox, and then having that higher risk mindset of saying, how do we come about and do this in a creative, collaborative, problem-solving way.
I was on a recent panel where this idea of the sandbox came up, and I know someone from the GAO talked about it a little bit, and it's this idea of trying things out. As you said, maybe they don't work, maybe they work 30%, but how do we get that other 70% or 80% or whatever the delta is? When it comes to AI and cloud, how much of your efforts in that sandbox are really focused in that direction? Do you have a lot of different, if you will, tests, pilots ongoing that really look at AI and cloud and how to work those two things can work together to get to that answer that you're looking for?
Yes. So we I wouldn't say a lot. We have several things going on. And one of them was like that content extraction piece of all of GAO's. It was a surprise, because typically I would just say, well, let's just use we have search engines all over now. It's essentially a free resource. They're very good at it, what they do, what they've developed at Silicon Valley and so on. But we were able to custom or tailor something to the GAO corpus that made it much, much richer in terms of what you could extract and do those sort of things. So I think, again, it's like a philosophical turning into this kind of test environment, this kind of innovation to sandbox, because you just have to do it. I think, importantly, one of my soapbox speeches is very important, because the engineer in me always demands that we say, look, how are we doing it now? That's part of the problem definition, because you're always trying to say, well, okay, what's your problem? But what are we doing now, and why is that deficient? Because sometimes it's we just need to screwdriver to be here, and you can do it better, and we don't have to, you know, pull out the fancy tools in AI and do all that kind of stuff, right? So there are times where not all problems should jump to AI or demand that. But when you pull things out and you try and approach it in this way, then you can have this, test or build, prototype, repeat, and so on, and then iteratively develop, which is just classic engineering methods. But you must be able to be willing to pursue and have a clear-eyed view on what your baseline is, right? So take autonomous vehicles. So that's a classic AI type thing. It's maybe one of the most visible things we think about AI. I'd love to be able to, since I live in the DC area, to get into my future autonomous vehicle and like stream video or read my newspaper, whatever, and it just takes me downtown. I don't have to think at all about driving into the core of DC. That would be so cool. But we're at right now, I had lunch with a former assistant secretary of transportation that was just saying, look, in terms of driverless cars, we're at like millions of miles, but we need to be like at hundreds of millions of tested miles before you're actually going to put, let's say, your mom who needs elderly care and she's going to go somewhere, and you trust that system, your grandma or your mom's life with that system to get her from point A to point B safely, or your kids or yourself or what have you. And so I think we always need to understand what's the as-is state, what can AI do to help improve the state, and when AI fails, not if, when it fails, you understand why it fails, and you iterate and fix the problem and then drive toward a better solution. That has been done. It's possible, but it's a different mindset than what often is in the federal government about failure's not an option. You can't do anything. You know, you do it one time and the conversation over and we're never pursuing AI again. That would be a mistake.
You're listening to Federal Insights on Federal News Network. My guest is Tim Persons, GAO's chief scientist. And I'm Jason Miller. We'll be right back.
AI has the potential to transform government agencies, accelerating processes and mission-critical functions. Thundercat Technology, in partnership with Dell Technologies, can optimize your AI ecosystem, simplify sourcing, deployment, and management of infrastructure designed for the data era, with plenty of what your agency's AI use cases demand to deliver better outcomes in a hybrid cloud world. Learn about our AI experience and capabilities at thundercattech.com/partners/Dell Tech. The future is now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Federal Insights. I'm Jason Miller. My guest is Tim Persons, the chief scientist at the Government Accountability Office. Tim, we're just about out of time, but I got to ask the question about, okay, you have all these great tools. You have a sandbox where people can fail fast. You have a lot of things in the cloud. You're collecting data. What about now you got to make sure the workforce is ready to use all these tools, all these great things. Walk me through just a little bit briefly about what GAO is doing to ensure that its analysts, its investigators are able to use the tools you're giving them.
Yeah, excellent question. So cannot forget at all the workforce issues. Human capital is as important. Again, what's deceiving about AI is you think, okay, the droids are going to go do all the things for us. No, it's about how do we upskill or reskill the workforce or start to thread into those curricula that are coming up, even down to the K-12 level, right? So that we're starting to do that. We don't even think the computers you and I, Jason, are using now, we don't even think about it anymore because it's just embedded and assumed that along the way in our education, we will be able to learn or have a baseline understanding of how to use a computer. Though I would dare to say you and I probably aren't conversing in every possible computer code, or we're not down into the nitty gritty of the computational architecture, right? We know how to use it, but we don't have to know every little detail. That's going to be a key thing and to think about. So with that, then we are doing a lot of training and just general data literacy. I actually have the privilege, the person leading this for GAO is our chief data scientist. He's the first one here, Taka Ariga, and Taka's been doing a lot of work on this. He's the one directing the innovation lab, helping do and build a lot of the cloud as well, and these prototypes, but also has been a passionate person about training our workforce to start to think about the cloud first and then what you can do with the cloud in terms of the AI and things like that that are going to run on the cloud. And one more thing, if I may, just before we get off, because this is really critical. I'm just now pulling up beyond this is one of the most important things that we are producing this year out of our science, tech assessment, and analytics team. I'm the chief scientist, but I'm managing director for GAO's newest team, along with a colleague of mine. We also have a big job that's coming out, or a big report on a framework around AI accountability. And so that's critical because we GAO, the future GAO, are going to be conducting oversight on AI systems that are developed in the federal space or deployed or purchased. But we need to have an understanding about how we know that certain things are, let's say, they comport well or they're not violating even unintentionally things like the Civil Rights Act of 1964, right? There's always a concern about bias and things like that. We have developed in partnership with a cross-sectoral group of really strong experts a framework on AI accountability. We intend to start to essentially operationalize it, start to work on this in partnership with many of our federal entities and partners on this, just to figure out how do we get these things so that we have the AI systems obey the values that we desire them to reflect. And we know, again, you will have wrongness along the way, but how do we over time mitigate the risk of those biases and so on? So anyway, so it's even, like you're saying, we report about AI, yes. We're doers of AI, yes, but we also created a framework for evaluation and accountability of AI, and we're excited about that.
Tim, it sounds like we could talk a lot longer, but unfortunately we're out of time for today. So let me thank my guest. Tim Persons is the chief scientist at the Government Accountability Office. Tim, always a pleasure to talk to you.
My pleasure as well, Jason. Good to see you again. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm Jason Miller. You've been listening to this episode of Federal Insights on Federal News Network.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for June, sponsored by Thundercat Technology, in partnership with Dell Technologies on Federal News Network.